appointments. We do have lots of applications for membership, which is very cool. And I apologize, my camera is not working on this computer for some reason. I don't know why. And I'm not going to, ask my staff to stay and try to straighten that out. So not important, not important enough for hardworking people to do that. I know that Summer is coming. She is attending, but has a staffing, an important staffing with her two children with who have autism and who are have their quarterly or periodic staffing. So maybe we'll wait a minute or two. Larry will not be here. Matt will not be here. Because he has a big meeting in town with crisis folks from all over. Rachel's here. So if Summer makes it, we'll have a quorum. Bye. No, thanks. Thanks so much. Okay, bye. See you tomorrow.
Holly, I've got to leave in short time, so I apologize. I sent an email late on that.
Haven't seen it, but
I know it's okay.
And as usual, we have all of our community folks here, which is always nice. But Joanne. Dr. Potts, what time do you have to leave?
Probably 8 minutes, 5:30.
Oh, all right. Well, we shall see who we have. Let's see who's here. We have from everywhere. We have Ty. We have United. We've got, of course, Larry and Frederica. People are joining. We have... I have people, and Deb Jorgensen from, what is AZCHCCP REBA?
The Arizona Complete Health Complete Care Plan. I'm the OIFA and member advocacy representative for Arizona Complete Health.
Oh, for Arizona Complete. Okay. Do you know Dr. LeCavalier?
Worked with him on different groups, but not well.
Her,
not well. That's why not well.
Yep. Okay.
May I ask a question generally, Ms. Giesel, just of the providers? It's an informal question before we set up.
Sure.
I've got a possible patient, SMI, coming out of the Valley Wise, first hospitalization, probably voluntary. Are there some clinics that also will, with the SMI services, offer physical exams and general medical care now?
Dr. Potts, there are integrated clinics in the SMI continuum, and if you email me or give me anybody send over to me any information about where that member lives or will be living, we definitely can identify a integrated clinic that can provide both physical and mental health.
They live in Surprise. Okay, no, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Rachel, you're on mute.
Tyson, I have a question on this. I thought every health home had both primary care and psychiatric services at this point. And that's why we're calling them integrated health home, and that every SMI member would be assigned to one of those. Is that not the case? Are some like psych and SMI only versus?
I'm talking, Rachel, I am referencing across the whole central region, so not just in Maricopa. So some of the sites that may not be in Maricopa or real far flung in Maricopa may not be integrated, but most in the kind of the core part of metropolitan Maricopa County, Phoenix area would, but there are some that are not.
Okay. Could you also send me the list?
I definitely can. I will follow up with our adult services team tomorrow and get a list over.
That would be helpful. Thank you.
Tyson, I think that's a topic. We've had some really good presentations from Access and other partners in the past on various, whether it be the special assistance group or various topics. Is that something that Mercy could do a presentation on for us? What's the status of implementation of the health home concept? Where are they? If you can do an overview of services that they offer, maybe a map and that sort of thing.
We definitely can.
Great.
And we'll talk about, across the central region, what services are available across the region.
Excellent. I think there'll be a lot of people interested in including, folks, other organizations who might like to attend. I know that's a hot topic.
Is that something, I don't know how November falls with the holiday season starting in November. Is that something you'd like me to see we could do in November, Holly, or?
Yeah, sure. We'd be thankful for that.
I will follow up and get back to you as the chair of how long we need and what we can present on.
Great. And we'll make sure that the other IOCs are aware that you'll be doing that presentation so that Northern, Southern, and Ash can join. Hi, Joel. Thanks for joining us. Great. We've got a quorum. And maybe we want to, I'd like to talk about one item up front while we've got everybody here and just get a quick consensus on it. Dr. Potts has to leave, Joel, so we'll try to do this really quickly. We have three resumes from people.
Ms. Giesel, do you want to call the meeting to order first?
Sure, I was going to wait for Tamar, but because we're not going to take a vote, that's fine.
I don't care. I'm sorry.
We'll call it to order, and we have a quorum. And I'll read off the people who are present: Holly Giesel, Jack Potts, Rachel Strife, Joel Thompson. And we have community partners present from Arizona Complete, Mercy Care, United, and where is Banner on?
Yeah, this is Joe. Banner's here.
Yes, Joe. Hi, Joe. And did I miss anybody?
Maria with Blue Cross Blue Shield Health Choice.
Yeah, you're not showing up on my participant list, but that's okay. Anybody else? Okay. So we'll just have a working meeting to invite the people who have applied. We also have one person who's attended two meetings, a social worker at the county public defender's office, and she will be attending another. She's back from maternity leave. She just had a baby, her fifth. And so I told her we couldn't cut her any slack for that. If she'd done that five times, she's a pro at it, right? But she'll be attending. She was referred by Rachel. And we do have some other moms who are interested, I believe, and could be family members. And we have two enrolled members who have expressed an interest in attending. One is a former client of mine, and both are former clients. I think they will be excellent because they've had a range of experiences in the system, and as well as some interaction with the criminal justice system. So they have a great experience there. Let's do one quick site visit report, Dr. Potts. We had a great site visit, a fascinating place I had never been before, did not know it existed. It's a large berth and it had lots of empty beds, which was interesting. So Dr. Potts knows about it. If you could quickly do a site review on that.
Yeah, two things. One, would you kindly send us all a copy of the applications?
Yes.
Okay, great. Because I'd like to peruse them. Secondly, yeah, Holly and I went to, and I don't have my notes here. It was a one that Joy and I had previously visited, which is primarily a substance abuse program. And it's on Broadway, wasn't it, in Mesa there?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I think it's had about,
Center and yeah. Barb.
Yeah, and it has, it's primary 12-step oriented, and they have a lot of programming, theoretically. We didn't see a lot. We saw that they did have groups, and we don't know how repetitive, but it was very clean. There's well-staffed 24/7, and the staff with whom we spoke were very helpful. Do you have the name of it? Because I didn't think I'd be at the meeting for this presentation.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'll get it.
Okay. One of the concerns I think that brought us there was that there's a lot of individuals who get admitted there and leave within 24 to 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And I reviewed those on the IADs, and there's a handful of that people leaving. And a lot of these are people coming out of the jails, the hospitals, saying they want treatment. They'll go in there, and once they get there, they realize there's rules. They can't have a phone for a while, or they have to do groups and things like this, and they leave. And that was a concern, partly because I think probation officers and other individuals would be saying, we'll get you to a placement, but not telling what the restrictions would be at that placement. And partly because people said, I'll do whatever I need to do to get out of jail. And they go there and leave right away. And the concern I have, it's a waste of resources, and it's not fair to the patients who go there to not fully know what they're getting into. And even if they do, then the legitimacy of their agreeing to go was a question because of the secondary gain of getting out of jail or the hospital. But it was very clean, and that they had beds available was an issue too, because there shouldn't be, we shouldn't have problems with finding housing for individuals, which is always a concern that this committee looks at. Anyway, I'm sorry I was so vague.
Was that sober housing or was it a BHRF?
It's a BRF. It was licensed as a BRF, and it's got some very good staff there. And it used to be under CBI, I think. Right. May still be.
So I was really impressed with this facility. There was a lot of activity. There was a master calendar up. You could see the groups. The rooms were bit. They were large. It had originally been a nursing home. And then so it was built to code a long time ago. And then it was a.
Was this something Vista, the name of it?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then it became an assisted living home. So it's laid out in a typical sort of, T-shaped format. They had nice recreation, nice sitting rooms, TVs. It was quiet. Patients were getting their meds, medical assistance in taking their meds. We saw the group rooms. The staff were welcoming. They were open. We had a really good conversation. And I think what was most interesting was that they were willing to express their frustration that they weren't full and that there was nothing to do about people who want to leave. They can say, oh, come on, stay for dinner. They can try to engage the person, but they have many months, at least half, 50 to 60% of their people who come and stay a day or 2 days. If half to two thirds are out of jail, what this really says, and hopefully they might be willing to do a study, is that we have these scarce and valuable berth beds, which are really being used as a motel for a few nights for people who just get out of jail or decide they need a place to go and sleep, they need a home and food, and then they leave. I think that it's less that they didn't know. I think most of those people have probably been in these places before. I think that it's really probably more of an issue of untreated substance use disorder and a percent who have also other comorbid diagnoses of that would be qualifying for SMI. So it was interesting and a positive experience to see this good facility and half empty.
It was, I think, Rio de Vida. Was that not its name?
Or was it Canyon Vista at 860 North Center Street?
No, it was Rio de Vida.
Okay.
Canyon Vista is just around the corner. And right. I was actually at Canyon Vista last week with a client. But I can't count that as a site visit, although it was somewhat similar. Experience.
I have to excuse myself.
Okay.
Thank you. It's good seeing you all. Take care.
So I think that's interesting. And it is also interesting that most of the people were SUD, but primary diagnosis, but they do show up in the access in our site, in our database. So we accessed it and we went.
Holly, can I share a quick observation?
Sure.
Related to this? So the Mad Moms have been attending hearings at Superior Court for various SMI defendants currently in the criminal justice system. And one of the hearings that we attended was a series of, it was a mental health court session.
Right.
And there was a series of SMI individuals kind of mostly being dispositioned to discharge from jail to BHRFs.
Right.
And many of them were there for, they were no stranger to the judge.
No. And this is felony. These are felonies.
Right. And a lot of drug overdose situations had happened with this population, a lot of, you know, drug-related charges, disturbing the peace, things of like that. And
disorderly.
As someone who is familiar with BHRFs and this level of sick individual, watching these they weren't Rule 11, it was mental health court, and imagining that this group of individuals was being discharged to a BHRF.
Right.
I was honestly just kind of terrified, because the majority of the BHRFs that I've got experience with and the level of care being provided, the level of training is below what the people I saw discharging from jail to a BHRF. And the judge had this high level of confidence that they were going to receive the right level of care and treatment at this BHRF that they were being discharged to. And I'm thinking, wow, that judge doesn't really realize what a BHRF is. And I am kind of scared about all of this, and hearing you talk about the site visit of the open beds, people leaving after 2 days. I mean, some of those people that I saw a judge discharge to a BHRF were probably among them.
Absolutely. And this is a problem, and it's our judges. If you read what a BRF is on paper,
yeah,
you know, and people who interact with patients who are members who are in BRFs, you know that what it is not what's on paper.
That's right.
And I think that the biggest issue that I have seen, and we're thinking about, Jack and I talked, I'm talking to some other people about how we really correct some of the misconceptions about what's in a BRF and do that with the judiciary. On the other hand, our mental health courts are regarded as a very key part of the INTERCEPT model and a very key part of keep getting people out of jail and so forth. So I think that our challenge is we may believe that many of the BRFs are broken, quote unquote, right? They don't deliver what people, the judiciary, and believe it will deliver.
Yes.
On the other hand, they're all we have.
Yep.
As an alternative. But I think that
this makes me sad, Holly.
Yeah. Makes you sad. It makes me sad. It makes me afraid, because in the past, oh, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years, I can think of murders. Well, one that happened in a BRF, and the others that happened, people who walked away from or weren't there very long. And I think that one of the things the access fraud cases have brought out is the level of training. I know that the FBI, that the agents, the attorneys and so forth that I've worked with, not just, you know, not just FBI, OIG, attorney general's agents, were appalled that groups, quote unquote, groups billed as therapy are run by unlicensed, uncertified individuals.
There's another element of this, Holly, is that my understanding is that if someone is in a BHRF and they are on court ordered treatment and they walk away after 2 days, their court ordered treatment should be amended back to a hospital.
It should be. The treatment team, there should be an amended, there should be an ACOT.
Did you ask if any of those absconders had been amended?
We did. And there were, they offered and have said, they also did send an email thanking us for our visit. That's a first, and saying they would follow up. When we were there, they had only like 2 or 3 individuals with SMI. Most of the people not on an SMI caseload are not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why they had nobody there who was on a petition. The two they had were voluntary, and they were still there, which is of course great, but that's not the problem. So I think that what we have, I always try to look for the silver lining, and I think that if there is a silver lining in some of the site visits that we're doing, we are seeing how we really need to align what BRFs are doing.
Mm-hmm.
The paper, you know, on paper BRFs are supposed to be doing.
Right.
And that would be something I think that Mad Moms and advocacy groups could really make a contribution in. And in particular, at looking at what are the qualifications of staff in the BRFs who are doing the groups, who are doing quote unquote therapy.
And is the clinical team available 24/7? Because these abscondings happen at 4:48 PM on Friday. I mean, here we are with individuals on COT or coming out of jail, and if they just abscond without having being rehospitalized, they're going to die of an overdose, or they're going to commit a crime and end up in jail, or violate probation and perpetuate this over-criminalization of the SMI population that is happening over and over and over. This is what the moms are mad about.
Yeah.
And
I think you know, that is, from my perspective, the kind of the $64 million question. And I remember having conversations, Deb, years ago with you about, I mean, there's a robust body of thought, and I certainly see it in practice, that the problem with court-ordered treatment, with involuntary treatment, is that it doesn't work. And then people get done with that, and then, or when they can walk away, they walk away. And if you go, you know, Rachel, you make the point, they should be amended. There should be an amended court order. But then you drag them back, and is that going to be effective? I think it's the hardest, the saddest, the problem that we see, certainly that I see with my clients. Although, particularly when there's a dual diagnosis. So,
our BHR, I mean, and the training, our BHRF staffed, trained to say, oh, we've got a COT amendment, or oh, we need to put a petition in. Oh, where's the ACT team? I mean, that's what worries me, is the lack of training that I see with BHRFs.
I think it's the answer to that is probably, like many things, it's highly variable.
Yeah.
So I think that this is going to be, from my standpoint, I would like it, as we go and do our site visits, to continue to focus on how many people do walk away, how do you go and get them. This is like an expanded checklist that we started last year. Originally, when we did site visits, we looked at things like cleanliness, safety, crowding, adequacy for bathrooms, your human rights attributes.
Yeah.
More safety oriented. And I think Deb probably went on some site visits. I can't remember. But we were more focused on safety, which is important. But I think now we're really beginning to ask more about, is the system responding to you? Mm-hmm. Is the system, how's the system working with you? Are you engaging? Why not? We need to know why somebody wants to leave. Maybe they want to leave because the programming isn't helpful.
Right.
I mean, it's easy to say, oh, they all want to leave because they're junkies, or they all want to leave because they're not taking their medicine. It's not easy to blame the patient, right?
Probably because they weren't allowed their cell phones. I know my ward would run away right immediately if she wasn't allowed to have her cell phone. Not that I love that. She has it all the time, but that's just the reality.
And in sober living homes, that is a feature that we don't see in births for only SMI admissions, because they have an absolute right, reasonable access to a phone. They don't have to have a cell phone. And I can't believe I went in to do the little classes on the Constitution, and I walked into some of the swankiest schools, high schools. You know, I went to one high school and there were 4 Tesla trucks in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. I went to another high school where it was in a really rough, rough neighborhood. The common denominator, and I couldn't believe it, was that kids get to have cell phones in high school, in class.
I've got high school kids, Holly, and I can explain that to you offline, because it's a battle we can't win.
Well, I mean, I said to everybody, you can keep your phones out if you want, or you don't have to stay. If you keep them out, you've got to put them on airplane mode. If you come to my law firm, and because you sold $500,000 of crack and you want me to keep you out of prison, you're going to be told to turn your cell phone off. And if you don't, then I'll tell you, here's the name of three other lawyers to go see. And they kind of turned it off, and it was interesting. But I digress. I am appalled that people trying to learn a foreign language or advanced math or Russian history, you know, try to do it while they're on, they're not on Facebook. They're on that video thing, TikTok.
So Holly, one other thing to the other point that you made, how absolutely tragic that we have open birth beds and 4,800 people on a permanent supported housing wait list in Maricopa County.
And all the homeless people with SMI diagnosis, designation, waiting. This place had, it was two put together and it was big. They probably had 8 or 10 open birth beds.
So why isn't there a program for the high cost, high needs piece on the permanent supported housing list to be in births?
Good question. I had a simpler question, which was, is there like somewhere you call and you tell them, this is the birth at this place, you know, Central and Osborne, and we've got 6 open beds today. And it's also tragic because they had a lot of staff. I was totally impressed, and all of them came up and introduced themselves. They were very friendly, and I think that reflects the sober living, or the, you know, you go to an AA meeting or an NA meeting or something, and everybody's friendly. Everybody's glad to see you. They're glad. It's a welcoming community. And we said, gosh, you've got empty beds. And they said, I know. We're worried about, are we going to keep our job? Of course they are. You can't have 6 staff. I mean, they're with 12 patients or however many they had. It was a good visit, and I think it would, I hope that everybody will do, we need to get on our site visits and get some more done. We will be going to Aurora. Rachel and I will be going to Aurora, which will be interesting on the 31st. Summer, I believe, had looked at IADs. We'll talk about that. She went on her week away in the Montana wilderness, and which is key to her sanity. But I told her she had to do IAD reviews up there. She could look at the northern lights, but she still had to do IAD reviews, right? I have a brief draft of the annual report. I will circulate it, and we will get it voted on if we have to do a telephonic meeting, and hopefully end of probably the beginning of November, we'll be able to have some of the new folks who are interested in joining attend. The next issue, let's see, I think we have covered those issues. So I'd love to hear from the partners who are here. Deb, you want to start off? And is there anything you have to report from your place? Who?
Deb, you're on.
I just noticed that. Sorry about that. I just wanted to share, this is my first time sitting in on the meeting other than when I was on the IOC. So I wanted to get a feel for what you were asking and the discussions. So I don't really have anything to report out. I just want to make sure that you have my contact information. I'll put it in the chat. And that way I can be, you know, available throughout. And if you have questions for my health plan, great. Bring them on.
Great. Thank you. Joe?
Hi, everyone. Joe Kautzman with Banner Health Plan. I have no updates at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Marie.
This is Maria with Health Choice. I have no updates at this time.
Okay. Blue Cross Blue Shield was on.
Yeah, it's, well, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Health Choice, sorry.
Health Choice, right. Yeah. And then, yes, Ian.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Unfortunately, I'm just standing in for Dawn, who's attending another meeting. So I'm more than happy to take any questions back to Dawn and the OIFA team with United Healthcare, but I don't have any updates for you.
Okay, well, that's fine. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be a part of it.
Wednesday evening and a nice evening, so you're doing your duty, right? Frederica.
Hey, Holly.
Hi.
I don't have any updates for you all tonight, but happy to take any questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you very much for always for being here and being available. And Larry, anything from the Office of Administration other than we got to get our report in?
Yeah, report is due November 1st. I do have a cover letter for you, Holly, for the report and and the email addresses where they're submitted. So I will share that with you tonight. You'll have it in your inbox tonight. Let me know if you have any questions or concerns on that.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate that. And Deb, one of the things that we are blessed with since you were on the committee is we have this great support from Access and from the Department of Administration when Senator Bartow amended the statutes to move the administration of the IOCs to the Department of Administration. And we actually got from the department funding for a professional person who knows how to run meetings and knows how to liaise with all of the powers that be. And it's really improved at least my confidence that we're doing things right and properly and in the way that we should be under the statutes and under the open meeting law and just everything. So it's been a journey, but thanks to Senator Bartow, she got that done, and we've been blessed with Frederica and Larry and Frederica's predecessor. So that's a pleasant evolution. And I worry every budget year that people won't see that it's important to have committees have professional support and to do things appropriately. And and we're able to do it also with video, which has really been helpful. That's, I guess, the silver lining that I see in COVID is that we all learn to do things in ways we didn't. And I think we are all more enfranchised and more broadly enfranchised than we were. So that's all we have. I don't think we need to wait for summer. I don't want to waste people's time. I appreciate everybody coming. And Rachel, let's think about how we can incorporate maybe a more formalized checklist on, it might be called system engagement questions, or I don't want to call it quality. I don't want to call it, I think engagement is entry exit engagement and looking at the programs that are being done in these facilities. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts or questions or comments?
No, nope. Just good to see you again, Holly.
It's good to see you. Looked on, I thought, oh, wow, look at that. We have an alum. We have a leader alum. I still remember going to the play. You did it was down like on McDowell, and it was a theater. Mm-hmm. And it was on getting people to, it was really the expression of trauma, violence and so forth, sexual violence and generalized trauma and using theater as a way to explore that. And it was, I can't remember the name of the theater group, but it was kind of a street theater. It was made up of people who were in the system and all that. It was really, it was a cool thing. We should be doing, I'd love to see more of that.
Me too.
In the community. So thanks for joining us. Okay, we'll see you all next month. And we'll at that point maybe have our new checklist and for system engagement or something like called that to get at the questions we talked about tonight. Thanks for everybody for participating. Bye.
Thank you, Holly.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.